Hi Krishna. So today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kalasudha Mataji giving class on Nectarian Mellows of Gopi Gita. So Mataji, please speak for the class.
Hare Krishna. Shama Guri Mataji, eternally grateful to you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to have all of your association. And in all of your association to hear the Nectarian Mellows of Sri Gopi Gita. We are currently today here in Phoenix, Arizona. We are here with the devotees. And the temple actually invited us for a congregation development workshop. So we have come here. And today whole day and tomorrow whole day we will be here with these devotees. This is an amazing congregation. It's been very enlightening to be here. So on that note, we will start. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankajanathaya Nama Pankajamadine Nama Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajanjaye Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, entitled The Gopi Songs of Separation. We will continue from reading we had completed till text 7. We will continue from text 8.
Madhuraya Gira Valgu Vakyaya Buddha Mano Vnaya Pushkare Ikshana Vidhikare Nima Adharasi dhuna yaya svanaha. Translation. O lotus-eyed one, your sweet voice and charming words, which attract the minds of the intelligent, are bewildering us more and more. Our dear hero, please revive your maid servants with the nectar of your lips.
Om Gyanati Grandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaha Vishnu Padai Krishna Prishthaya Putale Srimati Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Namaha Vishnu Padai Krishna Prishthaya Putale Srimati Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Namaha Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakatha Dhamma Daya Nagara Gramatarine Namaha Vishnu Padai Krishna Prishthaya Putale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshunivari Paschati Vishadharani Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivakati Gauravaktarunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This very beautiful verse, text 8. Here the gopis, they are in, you know, they have now come to the point where they are really, really, you know, so much in deeply in meditation of Krishna. And, you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the mid-morning session, now we are reading the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami that Srila Rupa Goswami received from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu is talking about something called as Kevala Bhakti. So Kevala Bhakti is something very, very unique, which is only possible by the Brajavasis. Because in Kevala Bhakti, it's not just uninterrupted, unalloyed, unmotivated devotional service, but it is also on the platform where the worshipper forgets the supremacy of Krishna and considers them to be on the same platform or sometimes even higher than Krishna out of their, you know, supreme love for Krishna. So there is a very beautiful difference that there can be Kevala Bhakti out of awe and reverence, and there can be Kevala Bhakti, the one that Krishna enjoys most, is Kevala Bhakti without awe and reverence. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives a very beautiful analogy that how in all the rasas, you know, starting from Sakhyaras, even Shantaras, Sakhyaras, Dasyaras, Vatsalyaras, Madhuryaras, all of these rasas, Mahaprabhu gives an analogy of Kevala Bhakti with awe and reverence and Kevala Bhakti without awe and reverence. So the ones that strike me the most of the analogies that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Srila Rupa Goswami is in Sakhya Ras. Mahaprabhu says that Arjuna, he is also the friend of Krishna, but when Krishna revealed the universal form to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, at that time, Arjuna started offering prayers out of awe and reverence to Krishna. His Sakhya Ras, the one that was with intimacy, it completely changed when Arjuna witnessed the universal form of Krishna. And he started offering prayers to Krishna, saying all these things like, Krishna, I have committed so many offenses to you. You know, lying down on the same bed, talking to you very, very informally, addressing you so informally, please forgive me for all of that. So that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the example of Kevala Bhakti in when it is in awe and reverence, in Sakhya Ras, as opposed to Kevala Bhakti without awe and reverence is the Sakhas of Braj. Like Sri Dham Sudham Madhumangal, when Krishna is playing with the gopas, at that time, if Krishna loses, when they are playing, if Krishna loses, there is no exception. The punishment is the same for Krishna. So Sri Dham Madhumangal, they come to Kanha and say, Kanha, you lost, so now it is turn that you are also going to carry me on your back and then walk from one place to the other. So Krishna very, very submissively, he accepts this defeat from his friends, and he carries his friends on his back. Just like whoever is defeated in the game,
they have to carry the one who has won on their shoulder. So Krishna does that. So that is Sakhya-ras, and that is Kevala Bhakti without awe and reverence. So like this, even in Madhurya-ras, you know, Rukmini Devi, whenever Krishna visits Rukmini Devi, she is serving. You know, she is personally taking care of each and every nook and corner of her palace, personally cleaning, personally seeing to all the details so that when Krishna enters, that, you know, when he is in her chamber, that everything should be perfect. She personally oversees it. She was not only a princess from before her marriage to Krishna, but after the marriage, she is the, you know, the primal queen of Krishna. She's a primal queen of Dwarka. Out of the 16,108 queens that Krishna has, she's the primeval. But still, without considering her unique position, she personally cleans her quarters so that Krishna will be comfortable. But still, her love is with awe and reverence. As compared to the gopis of Vrindavan, the gopis and Srimati Radharani of Vrindavan, if any moment Krishna comes late to an appointment to meet Srimati Radharani, I was telling this past time that one time there was Srimati Radharani, you know, they had all the sakhis, they had got together and they had decided that Krishna and Srimati Radharani will meet at a designated spot, at a designated time, at a designated kunja that, you know, Vrinda Devi had selected for them. So they would meet there and they would have, you know, nice, beautiful swing pastimes and water pastimes. So they had, you know, prepared for all of that. And the preparation that they took, you know, the sakhis of Srimati Radharani, they took in preparing Srimati Radharani. That was amazing. The kind of decorations, the kind of ornament that they put on Srimati Radharani was very, very amazing. In the sense that starting from Srimati Radharani's lotus feet, it is explained that Chitra Sakhi, she is very, very expert in drawing and painting beautiful designs on patterns on Srimati Radharani's lotus feet and her lotus palms with a liquid dye which is called as alta. It is a red liquid dye which is called as alta. So with that and a peacock feather, Srimati Chitra Devi, who is one of the Ashtasakhis, she very beautifully and intricately paints the lotus feet and the lotus palms of Srimati Radharani. And then Sudevi Sakhi is very expert in decorating Srimati Radharani's hair. Every time she does a new design, so she decorated Srimati Radharani's hair. She put fresh forest flowers, very beautifully smelling flowers on her hair. So she, you know, Radharani's hair and her lotus feet and palms are looking gorgeous. And then Srimati Radharani was adorned with a blue sari, which has red dots all over, red embroidery work all over, and her blouse is red with a blue lace at the bottom of her sleeves to match exactly with her sari. And in her, you know, thin, gorgeous waist, Srimati Lalita Devi, she put a very beautiful belt adorning her thin waist. And, you know, she had chokers, she had necklaces, so beautiful ornaments. And she had, you know, bracelets and kangans adorning her wrists, earrings, everything matching with her, the sari that she was wearing. She was so beautifully and intricately decorated by all of the sakhis. And then she was finally brought into this kunja where Vrinda Devi had arranged where Shyamasundara would come. And Srimati Radharani is waiting in the kunja. All the sakhis are waiting in the kunja. And Kanha is nowhere to be seen. Krishna missed the appointed time. And they are all waiting and waiting and waiting, and Krishna didn't come. And after a long, long time, Krishna made his transcendental appearance. And when Krishna came in, Lalita Sakhi, she is
Her age is described to be even elder than Krishna's. She is elder to Krishna. She is the only Sakhi who is eldest amongst everyone, and she's even elder to Krishna. And therefore, she considers it upon herself. She is like the protector of Srimati Radharani, because Radharani is so modest that she does not, you know, express herself. You know, she's very modest, very shy. So Lalita Sakhi, she cannot tolerate any injustice done to her dear Sakhi, to Sri Radhe. So Lalita Sakhi felt so bad that when Kanha came so late, so at the entrance, even before Krishna could make his entrance into the Kunja, Lalita Sakhi stopped him at the entrance and started chastising him. That, Krishna, what do you think of yourself? Just because we are crazy behind you, you think you can take us for granted? Like this, she was rebuking him and scolding him and, you know, no consideration whatsoever. Completely not at all thinking that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No thought. It is just that the lover has come late to meet his beloved. And therefore, the beloved of the beloved is chastising the lover. That was the mood of Sri Lalita Devi. In that mood, she was chastising and rebuking Krishna. How can you do this? And Krishna was just simply standing there and accepting and listening and nodding his head. And, you know, Krishna was speechless. He didn't have any excuse that why he was late. And at that time, Radhe, she felt extremely bad. And she asked Lalita Devi to stop chastising and come inside and, you know, allow them to enjoy their pastimes. But again, if we see the contrast between Rukmini Devi and we see the contrast between Lalita Sakhi and the gopis, we can see that how the gopis, they never even consider that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, they actually consider themselves to be even superior to Krishna, that they can chastise him. So that is the Kevala Bhakti of the gopis in Madhurya Ras. And this is unique. This bhava cannot be imitated. We are on the, you know, we are on neither any of the platforms, you know, neither in Kevala Bhakti in with awe and reverence or Kevala Bhakti without awe and reverence, there's no question. But we are simply on the platform of accepting Krishna as our master eternally. That is the mood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. Ashli Shiva Pada Ratam Pinashtumam Adarshanan Marmahatam Karotuva Yatha Tathava Vidhati Lampato Mat Prana Nathasusa Eva Naparaha. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us, that you are my Prananath, you are my master eternally, whether you embrace me tightly or whether you become invisible to my eyes, or you can trample upon me, whatever you do, my Lord, you are my worshipable Lord, life after life, birth after birth. So that is the consciousness that we are in, as given by Srila Prabhupada, that we should be very, very mindful that we should know all of this, you know, levels of devotion, but at the same time, we should know that what is our position, that we are in Dasya Ras, we are worshipping the Supreme Lord, and we are eternally begging him to allow us to be his servants. And then it is said, that Srila Prabhupada has said, that our eternal relationship with Krishna will, you know, thus be revealed. It will be automatically revealed. We don't have to go through any kind of procedure for that, but this is the only procedure. So this particular verse, text 8, is talking about something on the Kevala Bhakti platform of the gopis. The gopis are demanding something from Krishna. They are saying that, Krishna, you are a sweet and enchanting talker. Madhura yagira valgu vakyaya. That your vakya, your speech is so melodious that even though we may be so upset with you, even though there may be so many different things going on, but you always convince us to become madly in love with you and never leave you. That is your position.
We can never be angry with you for a long time. We can never do that. Because you always entice us with your beautiful and enchanting words. Madhuraya gira valgu vakyaya. With your beautiful and enchanting words, you always capture our minds. And the gopis are saying that you not only enchant us, but you keep bewildering us more and more. So this incident, you know, of bewildering the mind more and more, there was one particular leela that was very unique to Krishna and Srimati Radharani, which Srimati Radharani shared with all the gopis later, and that is why the gopis are, you know, narrating this particular two lines. The pastime happens like this, that one time, Sriji Thakurani, that's Srimati Radharani, Sriji Thakurani and Sri Shamasundaram, Krishna, they were walking down the road in Radhakund. They were holding each other's hands, and they were walking in Radhakund. And at that time, there was one devotee that Sriji Thakurani noticed, who was sitting on the side of the road, and he was blind. And he was chanting the glories of Krishna. And then Sriji Thakurani, her heart immediately melted out of compassion, seeing this sincere devotee. And then Sri Radhe very beautifully looked at Kanha and said, "Hey Krishna, hey Shama Sundara, can you please go and talk to this devotee? He is calling out our name. So can you please go and talk to this devotee?" So hearing this sweet melodious request from Srimati Radharani, from Sriji Thakurani, Shama Sundar told Radhe that, "Hey Sriji, I will go because I have no other option. When you request me so sweetly, I cannot think anything else but to go to that devotee. So I will go." So Krishna, he came to that devotee. Now the devotee was blind, so he could not see anything. So Krishna came in front of that devotee, and Sriji Thakurani was standing at a distance, seeing what Kanha is going to do. And then Krishna, with his naughtiness, he started talking to this very sincere devotee. He said, "Oh, my dear devotee, you look so sincere. But why are you chanting the names of that butter thief? He is nothing but a thief. He just tortures Mother Yashoda. He tortures all the Brajvasis. And why are you, you know, taking his names? Why don't you take somebody else's name? That will be more beneficial to you. If you take a personality like, you know, Lord Vishnu, you see Lord Vishnu, he is so, you know, accountable. Because if anybody calls out, like Gajendra, he called out to Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu was there in a moment, and he saved and protected Gajendra. But look at this Krishna. Who is this Krishna? Why are you wasting your time in calling out Krishna's name?" And Sriji Thakurani was seeing all this naughtiness of Krishna and smiling to herself. She couldn't control her laughter. And hearing the melodious laughter of Sriji Thakurani from the side, this blind devotee came to know that this is none other than Krishna who has come and who is torturing him like this. So then the blind devotee very nicely started to say to Krishna, "Yes, my dear boy, you are very right that I should rather take the names of Lord Vishnu. But you know why I'm chanting Krishna's name?" And then Kanha said, why, tell me, why are you chanting? Even I am confused. That why would you leave the most accountable Vishnu and leave his name and chant Krishna's name? Why would you do that? So even I'm inquisitive to know. So please tell me, why are you taking Krishna's name? So then this devotee said to Krishna, he said that, "My dear Kanha," and Krishna was shocked. He said, "Hey, how do you know that I'm Krishna? I am not Krishna. And then he said, okay, Baba, you are not Krishna. But you came to me to talk to me with your most sweet, enchanting words. You came just by the saying of one request of Sriji Thakurani, you have come to talk to me. So that is your mercy, that you don't even care what I am, what I would be, you know, doing or what I am chanting. You won't even care. But if Sriji Thakurani recommends any living entity to you, you will not even consider who is being recommended, but you will go to that person. That is how merciful you are. So that is why I chant your name. And hearing this, Krishna was very, very, you know, his naughtiness completely disappeared, and he just, you know, with tearful eyes, Krishna actually embraced this devotee. And Srimati Radharani also made her appearance, and they blessed the devotee so that they could have the darshan of the divine couple. And then Srimati Radharani blessed the couple, the blind devotee, by saying that you have so much faith in Krishna that I today give Krishna to you. Srimati Radharani blessed that devotee by giving Krishna. And Krishna said that because Sriji Thakurani has been merciful to you, therefore I agree that I am your sold-out servant. I am your servant. I am yours from today. So this beautiful pastime I heard when we were doing the Braja Mandal Parikrama in reference to this particular verse, that Madhuraya Gira Valgu Vakyaya, that Krishna's words are so enchanting that he can attract the heart of anyone. And at that point, actually, Krishna asked this devotee that you were blind. How did you know that it was me and Sriji Thakurani who have come? And then the blind man said that, my dear Lord, I may be blind by my eyes, but my ears work very sharply, and I cannot miss the transcendental giggling of Srimati Radharani. I could recognize that. And I could recognize the naughtiness in your voice. Because no one other than you can say that Vishnu is greater than yourself or more dependable than yourself. No one other than Krishna himself can say this. No one else in the entire creation can say this. So with your sweet words, the words that you chose, and Srimati Radharani's giggling, I could understand that both of you have come to see me. And so this is what happens even when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The reason why we chant Hare before is that we are begging to Srimati Radharani that, hey Radhe, please recommend us to Krishna. That when Srimati Radharani, when she recommends anybody to Krishna, Krishna gives himself to that person. Krishna doesn't even see who is being recommended. And Sri Radhe is like mercy personified. She is compassion personified. She does not even, you know, if we sincerely just beg to her like a loving mother, she always reciprocates. So she is our only hope. So if we take shelter of the lotus feet of Sriji Thakurani, we have some hope of getting the mercy of the divine couple. So the gopis are saying that they are remembering this particular pastime which Sriji Thakurani herself has narrated very jovially to the gopis. She narrated this pastime to the gopis. And the gopis are remembering this particular pastime and saying, Kanha, your words are always so enchanting. And now we are missing those words. So with the same lips and with the same tongue that you use to talk all these enchanting words, we are begging you to come in front of us and adhara sidhuna, adhara ras, that with your, with the nectarian mellows coming from your adhara, from your lips, you come and bless us. So the gopis are requesting the nectar from Krishna's lips to come and touch them, so that they will be relieved and revived of their, you know, suffering, that they are the pangs of separation that they are having from Krishna. They would be revived by that transcendental nectar from Krishna's adhararas, from Krishna's transcendental lips. So the gopis are requesting this touch from Krishna's lips, adhararas, they are requesting from Krishna and begging that, please come and bless us with your, you know, your maidservants. We are your maidservants, so please be merciful and bless us with the nectar of your lips. Moving on to text 9.
Tava katham jitam tapta jivanam kavi bhiriditam karma shataham shravanamangalam shrimadatakam bhuvi grinanti ye bhuri rajana.
Translation: the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent. The gopis are telling Krishna that your words, your katha, tava kathamritam, it's not just katha, it's not just your pastimes, but they're amrita, they're nectarian. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam. Tapta matlab, Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj gives a very beautiful analogy in this verse, in regards to this verse. The reason why the gopis choose the word tapta jivanam means when we are in the desert, we may be walking under the scorching heat of the sun. We are walking in the dry desert. There's just sand and sand and sand in front of us, below us, which is so, you know, scorched by the sun that is burning above. So when you put your feet on that scorching sand, it literally burns. You know, if we, any of us have had the opportunity to walk over hot sand, it's really, really hot. It is very, very hot. So that is called tapta. You know, tapna matlab, it's really, you know, burning. It's burning. So this material world is considered to be like that, walking on that, you know, scorching sand. But what does Krishna's kathamrita do? That like gives jivana. If you imagine when you're walking in this scorching sun, in the scorching sand, when you're walking, if you see a little oasis of water, how do we feel when we see that little oasis of water? It is jivandaini. It is life-giving. It gives our life, because that scorching heat just takes our life away. But that little water, that little reservoir of water in the middle of the desert is jivana. It is life. So that's why the gopis are saying, tapta jivanam. In the desert, your kathamrita is like that little oasis of water which gives us life. So Srila Prabhupada, actually by establishing all the beautiful ISKCON centers around the entire world, Srila Prabhupada has created these beautiful oases in this material world. In this desert-like material world, all of these
ISKCON centers that Srila Prabhupada has made is like that oasis, is a life-giving, it is jivandaini. And ISKCON center not only means the actual temples that we have, but Srila Prabhupada has said that even our homes are temples. Because Krishna is present even in our homes by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of the centers that Srila Prabhupada has established, we are able to replicate that entire temple atmosphere into our own homes. So that is the beauty of what Srila Prabhupada has given us. He has given us an oasis where we can really listen to the nectarian ocean of holy name. We can chant the nectarian ocean. We can just dive ourselves in the nectarian ocean of Krishna consciousness. That is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that he has given to us. So that is what is tapta jivanam. Kavi bhiriritam kalma shataham shravana mangalam shrimadatutam. That just by listening, shravana mangalam, just by simply listening to the transcendental activities of your nectarian pastimes, Krishna, what happens? That, you know, the Kavi Bhirita means all the great wise people have said that it completely eradicates sinful reactions and bestows good fortune upon whoever hears this. You know, it bestows good fortune. Shravana Mangalam. Anyone who hears and chants the nectarian, mellows of Krishna consciousness, Srimadatatam. Srimad means they are filled with spiritual power. And when we are in this material world, in Bhuvi Grinanti, when we are in this material world, the only way to get rid of the effects of the material world is the Shravana Mangalam. When we are chanting the holy names of Krishna, that is the only way we can counteract the overpowering nature of this material world. We can counteract it very easily. So, and they are ending it by saying, Bhuridajana. Bhuridajana means those munificent workers who spread the message of Godhead are definitely the most munificent. Their Bhurida means most munificent. Munificent meaning is they munificent, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered Vadanyaya. Mahavadanyaya means most munificent, which means they are more merciful, more magnanimous. They have nothing but paropkara in their heart. Paropkara means just working for the benefit of others. So we can see that Srila Prabhupada is the greatest Bhurida. Because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the sacrifices that Srila Prabhupada has done, we are actually sitting here in the comfort of our own home, and we are connecting to each other, discussing these most esoteric subject matters. It is simply by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. No other explanation to this. Just because of the work that Srila Prabhupada has done, the amazing, amazing, you know, work that has done by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Senapati Bhakta, Srila Prabhupada, that is the result that we are able to reap the benefits of the work that Srila Prabhupada has done for us. And this particular verse is very significant also, because there is a quotation of this verse found in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita as well. You know, when Maharaj Pratap Rudra, when he was trying to meet the Lord in so many different occasions, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was transformed, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the guru of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, and Sri Ramananda Roy was the minister of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra was an extremely pious devotee, and he was the, you know, king. And he gave Ramananda Roy complete, you know, leave of absence with full pay
he said that when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, Ramananda Roy had the desire to go and serve Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra gave him with pay leave to go and serve the Lord. He made all arrangements for his own minister to go and serve. You know how indispensable the minister is? But Maharaj Pratap Rudra said, don't worry, you go. But you go and serve the Lord. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra, on many occasions, he wanted to meet with the Lord. But Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to follow the externalities of being a sannyasi. And he said, for me, being a sannyasi, to associate with, you know, worldly people would be, degrading. I cannot do that being a sannyasi. So many devotees would come and beg Lord Chaitanya that please, you know, he's a very great devotee. Please give your mercy to him. But Mahaprabhu was very, very, you know, strong on this point that he would not violate his sannyas principles. Very strong on it. And finally, the day of Rath Yatra came. And at that time, Advaita Acharya and the other devotees, they told Maharaj Pratap Rudra that this is your opportunity, that to receive the mercy of the Lord, that you give up your kingly attire and you take on the, the dress of a beggar, and you come, you know, you become a sweeper in front of Lord Jagannath. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra did exactly that. He gave up his kingly attire and he just, as a, you know, humble street sweeper, he swept on the road when Lord Jagannath's chariot was passing. And before that, Mahaprabhu was dancing ecstatically. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra was sweeping the road where Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath were passing. And after that, they came to one garden to rest. Mahaprabhu entered a very beautiful garden. It's called as the Jagannath Vallabha Garden. And Mahaprabhu entered there to just take some rest because, it was like a break time. And so that time, the devotees headed by Sri Advaita Acharya, they came and told Maharaj Pratap Rudra that this is your opportunity. Go and massage the Supreme Lord while he is taking rest. And at that time, recite this beautiful Gopi Gita. And then Maharaj Pratap Rudra, following the instructions of the devotees, he went inside the garden and he started massaging Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and he started chanting this beautiful Gopi Gita, one by one and by one. And by the time he came to this text 9, Tavakathamritam, and he sang Bhurida Janam, Mahaprabhu was in deep ecstasy by this time. Just by the recitation of the first 9 verses, Maharaj Pratap Rudra could not go beyond the 9 verses because Mahaprabhu actually just got up. As soon as he heard this 9th verse, Mahaprabhu just got up and he embraced Maharaj Pratap Rudra by saying, Bhurida, Bhurida, you are the most munificent worker because you are giving me the nectar of the Gopis Gita. So you sang this for me and, you know, you are allowing me to completely meditate and immerse myself in the nectarian mellow of the transcendental separation that the Gopis are feeling from Krishna. So I'm so grateful to you. I don't know who you are, but I'm just embracing you. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra was being embraced by Lord Chaitanya over and over again. And Mahaprabhu was calling him Bhurida, that you are the most benevolent social worker, that you are really working for the welfare of others. So this pastime has lot of significance that Mahaprabhu, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, he's Krishna himself in the mode of Sri Radhe. So why did Mahaprabhu refuse to meet, you know, Maharaj Pratap Rudra in the beginning? And why did he, you know, then choose to say that I don't know who you are in the end, and but still I'm embracing you? So did really Lord Chaitanya not know? No, Mahaprabhu knew everything. Even from the beginning when he was rejecting to meet with Maharaj Pratap Rudra, there are many, many lessons why Lord Chaitanya did what he did. He was establishing the standard of what a sannyasi should behave, because
you know, yad yad acharati shreshthas tat tat evitarojana. Whatever a great person does, common men follow. So if Lord Chaitanya would freely meet with Maharaj Prataparudra, everyone would take it for granted that, yes, sannyas, ashram means that you can do, you know, and, you know, you can roll with the, you know, the aristocratic community or things like that. But, you know, for preaching, there are many, many risks, of course, that Srila Prabhupada has taken, which has been completely, you know, so many questions have been asked like this in the past that, so is it actually true that sannyasi should not meet with the aristocratic class? Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did meet with Maharaj Prataparudra. Finally, he did meet. So it is not that, you know, Mahaprabhu is setting up, you know, a different kind of a standard and he's following something else. No. But Lord Chaitanya is saying that, you know, when people have that kind of a, you know, being the king means what? Thinking of oneself to be the controller. So Mahaprabhu is saying that unless he would give up that, you know, pride mentality, that he would not give his mercy to Maharaj Prataparudra in one sense. So when Maharaj Prataparudra finally gave up his kingly attire, he took up the, you know, vesha of a, you know, mendicant. And he came very humbly, forgetting his position, forgetting his stature. He just gave up everything and he came, surrendered in front of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That time Mahaprabhu accepted him. But again, in terms of our contemporary days, you know, Srila Prabhupada has taken so much risk. We see Prabhupada meeting with the, you know, aristocrats, with diplomats. Prabhupada even met with Indira Gandhi. He met with everybody. So that is the risk that the devotees are ready to take for spreading Krishna consciousness. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada is not sitting and, you know, spending large amount of time with them, but how much ever is required to give Krishna consciousness to them and talk a few words of Krishna consciousness with those personalities, Srila Prabhupada has done that. And in that same mood, we see that even our current Guru Vargas, they are following in that same mood. Just for the sake of preaching, they are taking certain risks. And when they take such risks, they are actually protected directly by Sri Nityananda Ram. Lord Nityananda is having special mercy and special protection on those who take risks by going out and preaching. There's a special protection that Lord Nityananda awards. And by the pastime of Maharaj Prataparudra, Lord Chaitanya also was showing one more thing to the, giving another lesson that if we simply follow the instructions given to us by the senior devotees, our life is successful. Maharaj Prataparudra did exactly what Advaita Acharya and the other devotees told him. He did not use his own mind, he did not use, you know, his own thinking, but he just followed exactly what the senior devotees told him. And because of that, Mahaprabhu reciprocated with him. Because he was getting in the mood of Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa 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 Nida. So we have to be in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees. When we are in that mood, we become at least a little bit qualified to receive the mercy and the embrace of Krishna. So all of these things are being, you know, narrated and talked about in the pastime of Maharaj Prataparudra and him receiving the mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he received this mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just by reciting this beautiful first 9 verses of the Gopi Gita. So today we will end here and we will continue on again from text 10 onwards from next time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I'm also Father and Guru Maharaj. A very, very nectarian class, Mataji, as always. So I have a question, in first verse, so Krishna is having the very sweet voice, so how do we understand, means gopis were fortunate to hear that, and we know that Krishna's voice is very sweet, but how do we understand, how do we hear that voice right now?
How do we hear that voice? Well, the day that Krishna feels, that the day that Srimati Radharani feels that we are qualified, we will hear that voice one day or the other. We will hear that sweet voice from Krishna. But till then, we have the representatives of Krishna in the form of our Guru Vargas, in the form of the sweet and senior devotees who speak as sweetly as Krishna himself. And when we hear them, we can understand that if they are so sweet, how much sweeter Krishna is. You see? So we can experience the sweetness of words coming from the representatives of Krishna. And then if we continue on with our sadhana, with sincerity and with devotion, with faith, utsahan nishchayat dhairyat. When we have enthusiasm, we have determination, and at the same time when we have patience, that yes, one day, by following this path that Srila Prabhupada has given us, we will one day achieve the ultimate, nectar of listening to Srimati Radharani's giggling and Krishna's sweet voice. We will be able to do that. So that is the faith with which we should render our sadhana. But for the time being, we should be able to understand how amazing Krishna's sweet voice would be just by gauging with seeing our Guru Vargas, how sweetly they talk. So that is a very, very close representative of Krishna. The Guru is said to be Sakshad Hari. We sing every morning, Sakshad Hari Tvena Samasta Shastri. So the Guru is Sakshad Hari, so whatever he does, whatever he speaks, that is none different from Krishna. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, Mataji, thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dana Pranam, glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. It's a very, very nice class, Mataji. I really like the point Mataji was telling that we should be very mindful. Means I was wondering, this is a very high level, all the Krishna's pastime with Gopi. It is actually really for me, it's a very, very high level. But you are telling we need to understand our position, and then we need to understand also Krishna's position. That is the point I really like, and the class was so nectarian, Mataji. Thank you so much.
I completely know that these are very, very esoteric subject matter. Gopi Gita in itself is a very, very esoteric subject matter, completely beyond my jurisdiction, my personal jurisdiction. But I'm just depending on the words that I have heard from, our Guru Vargas, from Srila Radharaman Maharaj, from Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, from many, many other senior devotees. So I'm just trying to repeat what I have heard. So we should definitely know what our position is. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Kalasudha Mataji. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very nice.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I was in Parikrama, but since because of this bodily conception, I missed the class. So, but now I'm getting the same nectar, more relishable. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. In this age, the way I saw your determination to perform the parikrama was very, very inspiring for us. So that kept us, you know, going on in our sadhana of walking every day. You were an inspiration. So we are ever grateful to you, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Om. Any more questions? Okay.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanavad Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji. Very, very nectarian class. Whenever we hear your class, you take our consciousness to one level high, and we have something to aspire for in bhakti to improve more, to become more pure, to keep, you keep us on that path. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Well, I beg you that since you are already one level up, that you can always remember me who is way below, so you can also drag me along with you when you are in that consciousness. So please take me along. Allow me to follow all of you. Thank you.
Yeah, humility is a gem of devotees, Mataji.
There's a difference between humility and fact. I'm talking fact.
No.
Thank you.
Mataji, so some of the friends from South India, generally the concept is Vishnu and Lakshmi.
Mm-hmm.
Or, even in the temples, like Vishnu's shrine is separate and Lakshmi's shrine is separate, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, when even including me and also others, when we first come to this concept of Radha and Krishna,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to accept because of the conditioning of, not there is no temples at all and no much information.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the information about Radharani available is only through the mundane songs and other things.
Yes.
So how can you explain, like, how a person who's coming to Krishna consciousness can feel that Radharani is a connecting link?
Mm. Very nice question, Lalitanji Mataji. Very nice question. Actually, sorry, you wanted to say something else?
No, I'm sorry. I was trying to explain my question. Yeah, thank you, Mataji.
Okay. So I hope I understood your question properly, but if there's anything else, you can tell me also. But this is definitely there that, you know, the aspect of Krishna in Goloka has come because of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even in Dwapar Yuga, you know, definitely not in Satya Yuga, definitely not in Treta Yuga, and only in this Kali Yuga, you know, the 28th cycle of the 7th Manu, when Krishna comes in the previous Dwapara, and Lord Ram, you know, the yuga cycles also change in this 28th cycle. You know, there are 100 cycles, so in this 28th cycle, the yuga cycle changes. Treta means three, actually. Dwapara means two. Dwa means two. And Treta means three. So it's actually Satya, Dwapara, Treta, Kali. That's the cycle. But here, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to come in this Kali Yuga, in 28th cycle, and before that Krishna comes, and also because Ahalya has been cursed, so all of these three things actually happen in this particular cycle only. This is the uniqueness that is awarded to this 28th cycle. So there is, because of Ahalya, you know, because if Treta Yuga would come because Ahalya was cursed in Satya Yuga. And if she would have to wait for Lord Ram to come in Treta, then she would have to wait for an entire Yuga to pass by. So for Ahalya, the Yuga, Treta Yuga actually came first. So Lord Ram came first to deliver Mother Ahalya. And then following that, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, himself, he comes in Dwapara, enacting all his, you know, multifarious pastimes. And following Dwapara comes Kali with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not come in every Kali Yuga. And Krishna doesn't come in every Dwapar. Krishna, the supreme original, you know, one who resides in Goloka, he does not come in every Dwapar Yuga. So the thing is that we need to understand that what we are getting in this Kali Yuga is unique to this particular Kali Yuga only, in this 28th cycle of the 7th Manu that we are getting. Even when, you know, Treta Yuga was going on, or when Satya Yuga was going on, even in our Yuga cycle, nobody knew about the existence of Goloka Vrindavan. This Goloka Vrindavan's existence was brought about by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the one who actually came and gave the workings that, you know, what happens. And, you know, he's the one who came and opened the, you know, opened the door to Goloka Vrindavan, because he's coming from there. Even Krishna is coming from Goloka Vrindavan, but he never talked about Goloka Vrindavan. But Mahaprabhu came and revealed, you know, Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtana. This Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it is actually present in even in the other ages, but it is chanted like Gayatri mantras. You know how we chant secret Gayatri mantras in secret, how we chant? This Hare Krishna Mahamantra used to be chanted in secret in the previous yugas, and only by Brahmanas when they are immersed in the water. Only then, they can't chant it anywhere and everywhere. That is the potency of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which we are chanting even when we are taking bath nowadays, when we are driving nowadays. That is how the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, that we are freely given. You know, when the word freely given is used, we think that, oh, yeah, by the way, it's okay. We, you know, it's freely given. But we need to understand that it is literally freely given. It is not available in the previous ages. This door to Goloka Vrindavan, the existence of Radha and Krishna as the supreme most, Goloka Vrindavan to be the topmost spiritual abode, is not revealed, is not known to anybody in the previous ages. And even if it is known to a few select, they don't reveal it. They just don't reveal it. So the maximum they know is up to Vaikuntha Loka. They know about, you know, Lakshmi Narayan. That's all they know about. But there is a possibility of Goloka Vrindavan is actually revealed only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He brought it with him. He brought that, you know, message of Goloka Vrindavan with him. So, you know, this is real, real, you know, mercy which is available for the people of Kali Yuga in this particular day and age, is only by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are really, 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 really fortunate. You know, never take this lightly, that how much, you know, mercy has been bestowed upon us. You know, freely distributed. You know, we very commonly, Srila Prabhupada actually used this word. If you just go onto Vedabase and type freely distributed, you know, thousands of quotations from Srila Prabhupada will come up. Srila Prabhupada used it very freely. And it is freely distributed because it is not at all available in the previous ages. Prabhupada has just given it to us so freely, you know, what Mahaprabhu has revealed. So that is the uniqueness of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Does that help in understanding? And does that help in answering your question?
Very much, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
I was wondering about the tune you used to sing this verses. So is that mm-hmm. tune only applicable to this Gita, Gopi Gita part, or throughout all Bhagavadam you can use the same tune, or I'm just curious about
it's
generic
just question. The Gopi Gita. It's okay. just the Gopi Gita that we use this particular meter. And okay. This particular raga is to be used with Gopi Gita because Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj says that ye gopiyon ka geet nahi, this is the krandan of the gopis. You know, gopiyon ka rona hai. This tune is very much like that. It's in tune with the melody of gopis crying for separation of Krishna. So it's unique to this particular Gopi Gita, but you know, there's of course different meters every devotee uses when they read the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, other verses also. But this particular raga is unique to Gopi Gita.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any more questions? Okay, Shyama Gauri Mataji, you would like to end the call since there's no more questions?
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, if anyone doesn't have any questions, we can end the call. Anyone has any questions? Okay, so thank you so much, Kalasudha Mataji, for sharing with us the nectarian mellows of Gopi Geet and answering the questions so beautifully, especially the second last question about Srimati Radharani, introduced to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Golok Vrindavan. So we'll end the call here by chanting Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sandhu Vaibhicha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki.